The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? Most interactive show, and really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Couple of conversations on the table. Why do you hate Tom Brady is one of them. We'll dive back into that potentially later on. We will also take a look back at some requests Houston athletes are making of their teams right now and whether or not we would accept them. We're talking Eric Gordon. We're talking Brandon Cooks, Laremy Tunsil, Kyle Tucker, Christian Javier, and to a lesser extent, Titus Howard. They were to ask for extensions, trades. Are you going to say yes? Are you going to say no? But in the last segment, we played a clip from Arian Foster on the Macro Dosing podcast where he talked about how the NFL is rigged, and a lot of people either laughed at it or lost their minds about it, thinking that this was an actual NFL player, admitting that the NFL and the WWE or WWF are the exact same thing. Foster's always tickled me, and there was a point where he seemed to sour the local media. And I remember this because back in the day when there was a little television show on CSN Houston called Sports Talk Live, we're talking all the way back in 2014, and only half the city could get it. I remember doing an episode where Kevin Eschenfelder was the host and Brooke Bentley was my co-host. And we were like the two analysts talking about things. And I remember that day at, I believe, a Houston Texans training camp practice. After practice, a bunch of people decided to ask Arian Foster questions. And Arian Foster treated them hilariously, at least per me.
Were you 100% out there today, Arian?
Yeah, man, I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I can be, and you know, I'm going to work hard at doing that.
Physically, you're good to go?
Yeah, man, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, man.
Arian, can you tell us exactly what kept you out? What's going on?
Yeah, man, you know, I'm just trying to be the best teammate I can be, you know. I'm going to work hard at doing that.
But what was physically wrong?
Yeah, I'm just out here, man. Just, you know, working hard every single day, trying to be the best teammate I could be.
What did it mean to be able to get back out here and start working? Right?
Yeah, you know, being with your teammates and being the best teammate you could be is like, you know, it's what you strive to do. So that's what I'm out here doing.
Your teammates talk about how they want to see you out here. They know what you mean to this ball club. What does all that stuff mean to you, Aaron?
Yeah, man, just when you're the best teammate you could be, man, you know, just work hard at doing that every single day, you know. That's what we're out here trying to do.
Your body's starting to break down?
Yeah, man, I'm just out here trying to be the best teammate I could be, you know, and I'm going to work hard at doing that.
How's that coming, Aaron, with your progress of being a better teammate?
Yeah, you know, just every single day just trying to be a better teammate, man.
What do you think about these?
It's funny hearing some of the old voices there, too, who used to be in Houston. There's James Palmer of the NFL Network now. Mark Berman, you're hearing, like, really trying to get some sort of answer at Arian Foster. So from what I understand, and I was told this by someone who was very close to the situation back in the day, Bill O'Brien told all the players to not say anything about injuries and said that, hey, if you're asked about injuries, say something along the lines of, I'm just trying, you know, just doing my best a day at a time. And Arian decided to have some fun with that. Unfortunately, the byproduct for Arian was a bunch of undeserved vitriol that came his way from Houston media who felt they had been disrespected. And I mean, my God, get over yourselves if you were feeling disrespected by that. Obviously, he was not answering any of your questions. Maybe get the hint or just let it keep going. And I thought it was good. I said after this happened, I was like, this is great because we have something to laugh at and talk about. It's content.
Is this acceptable behavior from an athlete towards the media?
Yes, it is, because, again, we don't matter. I will admit that every single time. I got such a kick out of that. And I remember on the same day on that Sports Talk Live television show, I stood up for Arian Foster while also, I think, calling James Harden a douche on TV. Not many radio hosts in Houston can say they've done that, but dabs, I did.
Congrats.
Thank you.
I did like the mix of people, you know, when the reporters kind of like, so how has... trying to become a better teammate.
That was James Palmer.
Yeah.
He was, and then, Palmer was the only one who thought that was funny, because I remember watching the video of it and also having talked with him afterwards, and he had a big smile on his face as it was happening. It was a really funny moment.
And then, like, the woman voice in there being like, so do you feel like your body's breaking down? It's like, okay, he's already said he's just trying to be the best teammate he can be 15 times already. Yeah. Do you think he's going to be like, well, I hope my body... Like, even if he's answering questions, asking him, do you think your body is breaking down, is not a good question to ask.
Do you think being a vegan has led to your body breaking down? See, if that question had been asked, that would have, I think, been appropriate the next year. I think it was 2015. Mm. I forget, but I think it was around that time he started being a vegan. Yeah, it's funny. You're right, Sean.
It's like, why would you ask, a question that, like, not very many NFL players would answer, like, or would, like, would just be like, yeah, you know, answer honestly. Like, I think my body is breaking down.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, you know, and be the best teammate you can be, Sean.
She was not being a great teammate.
No, she was trying to be a great teammate for her team, and his team, though, was winning because he was being the best teammate he could be.
It was a blowout.
It was an absolute blowout.
It was a bad game plan.
That was like Joe Montana losing 49-3 to the New York Giants in the playoffs, something Tom Brady would never do, ever.
To be fair to Mike Francesa, a funny way to start a sentence. He did say Super Bowl record.
Yeah.
Undefeated in the Super Bowl.
Well, you got to get to a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Do you?
I don't know. You go 4-3 in NFC Championship games. I think it's kind of weird to say, but he was 4-0 in Super Bowls. Well, okay, but there were three Super Bowls he could have made.
Once he got there. I guess he was just the best on the biggest stage.
What would have happened if Montana made the Super Bowl in those three Super Bowls that they didn't make it to?
Probably won them all.
Well, he probably would have lost all three of them because they lost in the NFC Championship game. They clearly weren't that good of a team.
But the NFC always won the Super Bowl back in those days.
Yeah, that actually is true. So that's a fair counterpoint.
Hmm. Boom.
Mike Francesa, Sean Mapes.
First take. That's my first take audition right there.
See, literally, you would be better than Mike Francesa just because of the fact that I trust that you won't fall asleep. That's it.
I do not understand
Mike Francesa.
They do start pretty
appeal.
Early, I will say.
Well, yeah, that's true. Well, 10 a.m.? That's the same time as us. Or wait,
no,
9
they start an hour before us.
Yeah, they start. It's 9 a.m.
And there's so many pre-show meetings for them that we don't have to do.
It's that actually is true. It is 10 a.m. Eastern time, though. I mean, it's the same time.
Oh, yeah. I would have to move to New York, though.
You don't want to live in the Big Apple?
No.
Oh!
Or maybe if I'm getting their salary, yeah.
Look at Mapes over here. Oh, I'm too big for the Big Apple. No one's too big for the Big Apple. It's the Big Apple, you jabroni. So Arian Foster has me thinking about who would be in the Texans' almost Ring of Honor. Foster's definitely in it. Foster's about as close as you can get to being in the Texans' Ring of Honor without actually being in the Ring of Honor. And I also feel like Arian Foster wouldn't want to be in the Texans' Ring of Honor, too. Because there's a hipster vibe with him. Yeah, Sean. There's an element of, okay, with him. I'm not sure he's the biggest fan of the McNair family. Could be wrong on that front. I don't want to speak for him. But there is an element where Arian Foster probably wouldn't want to be a part of it. But how about the almost Texans' Ring of Honor? Foster's definitely in it. Who else is in it? Because the Ring of Honor is Andre Johnson. It's J.J. Watt. And I guess it's Bob McNair because you got a late Bob McNair because you got to put an owner in to every Hall of Fame.
It is funny that as far as players go, the Ring of Honor is one person.
I think John McClain's going to get into the Texans Ring of Honor. What? John Clayton, my late friend who I used to talk with on Seattle radio all the time. He is in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yeah, is he in the Seattle Seahawks Ring of Honor?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. What would be next to John? Like, it would be like a pin and then John McClain?
Yeah.
Houston Chronicle, whatever?
Yeah.
Or a typewriter?
Well, everyone knows. I'm not even kidding here. As far as, like, football relevance in this city, there were times where John McClain was more relevant than the actual football team here. Sort of. He is nationally beloved. Sort of like the same way John Clayton is. So you go into the stadium, yeah, you see Bob McNair, John McClain,
and then
Tom
players. There'd be as many non-players as actual players.
Tom Brady should be in the Texans' Ring of Honor.
Okay.
What? I'm nominating Tom Brady to the Texans' Ring of Honor. But
can we put up all the Super Bowl banners then?
Yeah.
Actually.
Claim them.
Actually.
Same colors. Blue and red.
The Super Bowls that he won in Houston should go up in NRG Stadium.
That's true. That is... Sean, my God. Mike Francesa is quaking right now.
He's lucky he's old. He's lucky we're not in the prime together.
Oh, boy.
Put me at WFAN back in the 80s or whatever.
Super Bowl 38 against the Panthers. Super Bowl 51. You're right. Super Bowl 51 against the Falcons. Yeah, he's won two Super Bowls here. Tom Brady, Texans, Ring of Honor. But the almost Ring of Honor, who makes it? Okay, on a serious note, Dwayne Brown's got to be in it. The end of the Dwayne Brown era in Houston was ridiculous. I felt like he milked the
inmates running the prison situation to force his way out of town. He got traded to Seattle legitimately the very next day after that game was played. I remember we had a press conference and I had a microphone in his face, and I think probably 2 hours, and I was still the last person at NRG Stadium. I think 2 hours after it happened, he was elsewhere. He was somewhere else.
And if he didn't get traded and like the whole inmates running this prison thing didn't happen, he probably would just be in he would have a case to be in the actual Ring of Honor.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
100%.
Getting traded kind of bumps him to the almost Ring of Honor.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's a shame. I mean, he is one of the best players in the team's history.
DeAndre Hopkins, another one, probably should be in the Ring of Honor, but the way that went down.
But the way
won't.
It went down was entirely the Texans and specifically Bill O'Brien's doing. Hopkins has to be in the actual Ring of Honor. He's not in the almost Ring of Honor. Hopkins will be.
I think he's good enough. Okay, so he will be.
Yeah,
I feel like he will be.
I think Hopkins
after he retires.
Hopkins actually is good enough.
Okay.
The almost Ring of Honor, Jonathan Joseph. Multiple Pro Bowls here. Damn good player. I'm a big Jonathan Joseph fan. I think he's one of the toughest players in the league that no one discussed how tough he was because he plays cornerback, but they had some really good tackling corners back in the day with him and Kareem Jackson. I would say D'Amico Ryans is probably in the almost Texans Ring of Honor for his time as a Texans linebacker. And then it starts to get dicey. Are you going to put Brian Cushing in there?
Mario Williams. 14 sacks, 12 sacks, 9 sacks, 8.5.
But he was the first overall pick. And every single time you think about Mario Williams, I know you do. You're like, oh, what if Vince Young was here?
Or Reggie Bush. I would have been fine with either.
Yeah.
Which is so funny that I would have been fine drafting a running back number one overall and a guy who had a worse career than the guy they actually picked. And I still, part of me, am like, kind of wish they just would have picked Reggie Bush.
Mario Williams reminds me of Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney reminds me of Mario Williams. Except for I like Jadeveon Clowney as a player.
But Mario Williams was much more productive as a passer.
He was, but Jadeveon Clowney was at a time the best run defender in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, again, teach their own.
So, 90 retired, almost retired twice.
Almost retired twice. You know what? You're making that argument. I guess I'll allow it. He did have a couple of really good seasons. Almost Texans Ring of Honor. We have D'Amico Ryans in. We have Jonathan Joseph in. We have Dwayne Brown in. We have Arian Foster in. This one, I don't think I can put Matt Schaub in.
No.
I don't think I can put Matt Schaub in. I want to put Matt Schaub in. I don't think I can put Matt Schaub in. The way it ended was such a disaster. That's what's a shame for Schaub. Schaub had a couple of pretty good seasons here and statistically some great seasons here. But it ended so badly, and then there was a lot of drama at the very end of it too. That's maybe why I want to put him in the almost Ring of Honor. There were people like going to his house and stuff. It was over the top. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and text into on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We got a lot of conversations on the table. Who's in the almost Texans Ring of Honor? Why do you hate Tom Brady? And would you make good on these Astros/Texans/Rockets players' requests on this, the day of Punxsutawney Phil, seeing his shadow? Eric Gordon, Brandon Cooks, Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, Christian Javier, Kyle Tucker, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. In with the Paul Galancho on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Who's in the almost Texans Ring of Honor? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can also join us twitch.tv/ESPN975, where we also have Why Do You Hate Tom Brady and a couple of Houston athletes who are maybe making some requests on this, the day of Punxsutawney Phil seeing his shadow. Sean is getting really annoyed that I'm trying to make that a thing. What? It's a stupid holiday. We may as well turn it into something even stupider.
The two things aren't related, though.
They are now.
It's like, whoa, do you want Eric Gordon to see his shadow and be on the Rockets
Sean,
for another 3 years?
I was looking for inspiration last night, and, you know, through clouds of smoke, I may have thought up the idea of, hey, how about
all these guys in Houston, Eric Gordon included, who maybe want out of town, we determine whether or not we grant the request. Okay?
On this day of Punxsutawney Phil.
Yeah.
That's the part I have an issue with.
Well, it's this the day of your daughter's wedding, or this the day of Punxsutawney Phil seeing a shadow? It's a cold day out there, and I think a lot of people were concerned whether or not Punxsutawney Phil was going to see a shadow. Even though literally both of the things that can happen if he sees or doesn't see a shadow, it's the same bleeping thing. It's spring is coming soon, or spring is 6 weeks away. Coming soon, 6 weeks away. It's the same bleeping thing. Good God.
That is true. Like, when? Spring doesn't start until March anyway.
I hate that stupid hedgehog. I hate him. So we're trying to steal. It's the same bleeping thing.
I mean, it's Groundhog Day.
It's a hog that's not a hog, okay? Not that kind of hog, and not an actual pig hog either. It's like a little small marmot, ferret, I don't know, whatever. I'm not great with animals. Hey, except for cats. Cats rule. Who is in the Almost Texans Ring of Honor? Owen Daniels is a good one. Though I do remember back in time where I once got in an argument over one of my co-hosts at the flagship station about, get this, Owen Daniels and Joel Dreesen were a better tight end combination than Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. He said, you can't tell me that that's a better tight end combination. And I said, I respectfully disagree.
I mean, it depends on what kind of team you want to run.
Well, yeah.
What your values are.
If you don't like murder.
Patriot values.
You're feeling better about it. If you don't like people that are trying to get veterans health insurance for some reason, yeah, that's another reason. But
if you like very good football players,
yeah. A couple of people have brought up, but there's a bunch of names that are coming here on the Almost Texans Ring of Honor. Got to have David Carr. No, you don't. No, you don't. It's the Almost Texans Ring of Honor. Come on, we're putting a little bit behind this. Owen Daniels is almost allowed. A texter asks, how is Arian Foster not in the actual Ring of Honor? He's one of the best Texans players ever. I think it's an Arian choice. I don't think he'd want to be in it.
I think if the, like, relationship between Arian and the Texans was like neutral,
yeah,
he's in. But I think the
we honestly can't speak to the relationship either, Sean. I would just assume, and perhaps this is a foolish assumption, that he is not on great terms with the organization, because he seems to not be on great terms with any NFL ownership. I think he looks back at his time playing in the league, and it was a means to an end to give him a little bit of relevance, and he's happy that he has it, and now he's doing things that are totally unrelated to football. And to be perfectly honest, I feel like he's been a pretty damn creative person in his post-playing career.
Yeah, it is a little Ricky Williams in that way, where they both kind of viewed being an NFL running back as like, yeah, that's just what I had to do to get money.
And you
now
know what?
I can do what I want.
Good for him.
And they're like, they almost don't like football. Like, they like football, but it feels like they don't like, they're not like trying to be on NFL Network. They're not starting a podcast about football. They're starting podcasts about other stuff.
It seems like Foster dealt with a lot of BS at Tennessee. Maybe some of it was self-created. I don't know the entire backstory, but I get it. Foster's somebody who thinks. I know some people get a little bit annoyed, like he comes off as a know-it-all. I like Foster. He's not as much of a know-it-all as Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion. But
also, David Carr threw 65 touchdowns and 71 interceptions.
Yeah, can't be in it. Schaub can, maybe. Some would argue T.J. Yates. I mean, T.J. Yates' moments would make it into the Almost Texans Ring of Honor. T.J. Yates coming back randomly as, like, off the streets and I think winning a game with the Texans. That
2017,
was fun.
Yeah,
I think.
He was 0-3 in games he started. Maybe he won the game he didn't.
There was a game, I think it was against the New York Jets, that they won. And I think that was the game where DeAndre Hopkins officially ended Darrell Revis's career. But I could be wrong on that one. And he has, of course, the first win to win the AFC South and the first playoff win. But he didn't do a very good job in that game. And he also lost the next game against the Ravens, which the Texans definitely could have won. I mean, if Jacoby Jones doesn't fumble that ball, muff punt at the beginning of the game. Oh, God. Sorry, I'm getting triggered.
He won the first two playoff games. He beat Cincinnati twice.
That's true. But they lost the second playoff game to the Ravens.
No, they never won two straight playoff games.
Right. Others from Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. E315 says Dante Robinson. Almost Ring of Honor. The pay me Rick cleats.
Pay me Rick Smith is the funniest thing ever.
He's in my, like, the people's Ring of Honor, yes. I feel like.
Because
that, oh, man. Actually, let's file that one away for the summer. The people's Ring of Honor.
The people's Ring of Honor. I like that. Sean Cody would probably make that one.
This was a moment in time that I imagine the Texans were so uncomfortable with, too. Because the Texans have always come across as these, like, proper, like, I do declare. Like, South Carolinians that happen to have a franchise located in Houston. And now all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, we are in Houston.
H-Town.
Maybe we should move on from, you know, going after Jonathan Josephs and DJ Swearingers and Jadeveon Clowney's and maybe move towards, I don't know, just being part of H-Town, as you said, Sean Mapes. Amon Green says HRWS1W on twitch.tv/ESPN975. You are a bastard. Ed Reed, baby, says Largobot. Come on, guys. Those guys were in the ring of, oh boy, least favorite Texans ever.
They're in the ring of, they were good for other teams.
If we want to do the, like, ring of dishonor, it would be Amon Green, to an extent Ed Reed, Brock Osweiler, and someone else who's been nominated, Chris Brown. I only know of the Texans as an organization pre-moving here from watching NFL primetime and seeing Chris Berman, like, call highlights of a game where Matt Schaub threw for 500 yards, Andre Johnson caught for 200 yards, although that actually only happened once, and it was against the Jaguars in 2012. But there was a game where they probably played great, and then at the end, the Texans had a chance to win, and Chris Brown would, like, kick a field goal into the, like, sidelines. Just completely miss it. Tony Baselli, yeah, that one was a big whiff. Aaron Glenn, maybe? No, I think that one's a little bit of a reach. Imobi Okoye, Alfred Blue. Now you guys are trolling. This is what, of course, it always turns into with this team. Come on, it's the almost Ring of Honor. We do want to have some standards here.
I will say that there's not that many people to choose from without turning into the sarcasm sarcasm nominations.
Sam Montgomery, Willie Jefferson, and Sierre Wood. Yeah.
DJ Swearinger's dog.
Yeah. But DJ Swearinger, I loved.
Yeah, he's in the People's Ring of Honor.
At Jungle Boy Swag. What a handle. What a handle. Lewis Nix. Oh, boy. Brennan Williams, the guy who wanted to wrestle and not play. He's a nice guy. I met him once. Lamar Miller. Lamar Miller was pretty good, but not quite there. Antonio Smith, the Ninja Assassin. As far as memorable players, yes. I don't know if I would go up that far, but yeah. Not only was Antonio Smith funny when you put a microphone in front of him, one time he tried to beat up Richie Incognito with his own helmet, which a lot of people forgot. I remember bringing that up as a reason to... I was, like, standing up for Myles Garrett when he bashed Mason Rudolph on the head.
Very Paul Gallant defense, well, I will say.
In my defense, Sean, I didn't want to ever see Mason Rudolph again, so I was hoping that this would, like, teach him to leave football because you're absolutely terrible at it. That was the main thing.
Was that in... Were you in Seattle when you were
defending? I was in Seattle.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
I imagine they didn't love...
They got so angry at me for thinking that it wasn't attempted murder. Because everyone portrayed it as attempted murder when he went after him. And I was like, okay, like, he lost his cool. I'm sure Mason Rudolph said something that merited that.
No, we don't know that for sure. For some reason, NFL films, the audio cut out only for that play.
It's a pretty safe assumption.
Yeah,
it's a pretty...
Just cut out. There's nothing you can do.
Imagine if the audio was in there, Sean, and what an absolute bleep storm that would have been. And people would have been defending Myles Garrett there. And I always thought there. I was like, okay, it was a bad moment, but he shouldn't be sent to jail for assault. It's a helmet. It's like an eight-pound piece of plastic.
Him getting suspended for the rest of the season, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just cool off for another 9 months. All right. Come back next fall.
Yeah. Again... Antonio Smith swung his helmet at Richie Incognito's helmet at him. One of the funnier moments I remember in preseason action. This is when I had to watch preseason games. Yeah, we're done with that. We're not doing that again. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thank you for contributing to the almost Texans Ring of Honor. I also want to go back to a bunch of Houston athletes that are making requests on the day of Punxsutawney Phil seeing his shadow. Godfather. Are you going to give Laremy Tunsil his extension? Are you going to trade Brandon Cooks? Christian Javier, Kyle Tucker in arbitration. You going to treat him well? Eric Gordon. It's the trade deadline a week from now. I want to get out of here. Godfather, help me out. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, though, I got to tell you about my friends at TGS Insurance, because insurance rates are skyrocketing right now. Everything's getting expensive. You probably have an expensive heating bill this month. Don't you want to save some money? This crazy inflation's made everything more expensive. For people seeing 40, 50% increases before they decided to switch to TGS. Why do they switch to TGS? It's not just because of those savings, because everyone wants to save money. It's because it's so fast and easy to save money with their instant quoting system that shops the market and delivers you savings in 15 seconds. You can't afford to wait any longer. The time to save is right now. So grab that phone of yours and text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back and you'll get your full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. Legit savings this company has. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews. And their average customer from 2022 is saving over $800 on their home insurance. It's simple, fast, easy, and big savings. The TGS Insurance way. Let them work for you today by texting money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big right now.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You guys are vicious in the comments section. I do love it. Some of these I cannot read on the air. Who is the almost Texans Ring of Honor? Because the Ring of Honor, I think we've all agreed on, with Andre Johnson and Bob McNair actually in it and J.J. Watt joining them someday, is also going to feature John McClain, Tom Brady, because he did win two Super Bowls in Houston. And, most importantly, a guy whose name we have not mentioned yet, Clay Walker. Sean shaking his head. I'm sorry. You can't get up for a Houston Texans game without it's football time in Houston getting you ready to play. Because it's not until he says, and we're ready to play, that you know that it's finally here. Red, white, and blue every day. Sean is just disgusted by that. The almost Texans Ring of Honor was our conversation today because we heard a funny clip from Arian Foster, who I do miss as a Houston Texan. Arian Foster's in it. Dwayne Brown, he's in it. I think D'Amico Ryans is in it, especially now that he's a head coach. But Ryans had a couple of Pro Bowl seasons with the Texans, and I think Jonathan Joseph is in it as well. I'm a bad teammate of the Houston Texans, although I guess I'm not. I don't work at the flagship anymore. Paul, remember. Remember, you aren't there. You don't even have to do this for an entire hour. Some people are probably like, Paul, can you stop it with the Texans talk? Fine. John Weeks, got to be in it. Longest tenured Texan, I think. I don't believe that's debatable anymore. Some honorable mentions for the almost Ring of Honor. I would be remiss if I didn't say Chris Myers. I am a big fan of Chris Myers. Wade Smith made a Pro Bowl, too. I like Wade Smith. Owen Daniels. Yeah, I feel like Owen Daniels is almost in. So there's an almost Ring of Honor. There's an almost Ring of Honor. And then there's the real Ring of Honor. But some of you guys are mean.
That also, you explained that very close to becoming a participation trophy. If you just keep going, there's the almost Ring of Honor. There's the almost Ring of Honor. There's the almost. There's all the way down to, like, you were...
You could make it a pyramid.
You were on the practice squad.
We could make it a pyramid. Because then, yeah, if it was the almost Ring of Honor, it would just be guys that I remembered that I liked.
Kevin Walter.
Yeah, I wasn't a big Kevin Walter fan.
What?
Nah. Kevin Walter was a reminder that they needed a good second wide receiver.
An actual second, right, yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Walter and Jacoby Jones were like, hey, you should probably draft someone like DeAndre Hopkins. And they did. Whitney Merciless got brought up. He played here for a while. He was always very solid.
I think he's almost.
Yeah, I think he's almost, too. I think he's almost with Owen Daniels and Myers. And
Jonathan Joseph, almost.
Jonathan Joseph is definitely almost.
Yeah, okay.
Damn, who was that running back that was from William & Mary? Like, that would be in the almost. Because whenever he played, he was great. He was averaging like 5 yards a carry. But see, I don't even remember his name. So there you go.
I feel like that disqualifies you if you don't remember.
That's why he's in the almost Texans Ring of Honor, okay? Texter says the Texans are a pyramid scheme. Hey, you don't know that. Started watching that Bernie Madoff documentary last night. I don't understand how anyone falls hook, line, and sinker for these people. Especially if the guy's apparently not one who makes eye contact with you. Drives me crazy. Here's a doozy, writes a texter. Randy Bullock, stop. That is bullying of Randy Bullock. I will not stand for it. And one last one. This one is, I think, borderline almost. Vontae Leach. I have never seen, listen, a guy can appreciate another man's body. Vontae Leach is the most jacked person I've ever seen in a locker room, by far. And I'm not acting like I look downstairs or anything like that. I'm a professional. All I'm saying is, every now and then, you would see somebody with a 16-pack. I've never seen more abs on a human being who's built. It's not like Vontae Leach is skinny and lean or anything like that. Vontae Leach was linebacker-sized at fullback and just an absolute Adonis of a human being. If there was anyone that I would trust to open up a gym after their playing career, and I would pay like Equinox gym prices to go, Vontae Leach would have been the guy. 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN, the almost Texans Ring of Honor. Ryan has a thought. Ryan, what's up?
What's going on, Polly?
Yo.
Okay, so I got somebody for the division championship that he brought to this city, won B.O.B.
Bill O'Brien. Oh, man.
You know it's good when he hangs up before.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing there.
Like, throw the grenade.
Throw the grenade, close the door. All over us right now. No, he's not. I think the sad thing is you really haven't had a coach worthy of that kind of recognition. Gary Kubiak's got the local ties, so that would have been good. If this was still the Houston Oilers and they had changed their name to the Texans or something like that, I think Wade Phillips would definitely deserve a mention. Because when Wade Phillips came here, Wade Phillips was a part of this team changing. If you remember, before 2011, their defense was terrible. Absolutely terrible. Like, what you would know the Texans for was Matt Schaub and Andre Johnson throwing for thousands of yards, Chris Brown shanking field goals at the end of games, and the Texans defense being an absolutely terrible unit. Then Wade Phillips comes in and, oh my God, they're good. Like, immediately. Next year, 2011, he comes in and, like, they had one of the best defenses in the NFL 2011, 2012. Like, they were really, really good for a couple of years.
Larry called in one to mention Brian Cushing. I feel like we haven't talked about him enough.
We did touch on him, but we did not go great into detail with him. I think he's in the almost Ring of Honor.
Oh, okay.
I think that the big thing that sucks with Cushing, and I'm not actually holding the PEDs against him.
Yeah, this isn't the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
we don't.
I don't care. He when he was on his game, he was amazing. But it was like a 3-year stretch for Cushing. Because he comes in, was it 2009 his rookie season?
09 was his rookie.
So 2009 he comes in, he wins the rookie of the year that year. It gets like, I think, did they have a revote because he tested positive for the PEDs? I think there actually was a revote.
I don't remember that. That'd be hilarious.
It was a really tricky situation, and he gets suspended the first four games of the next year. 2011, really good player. 2012, I feel like the Texans' chances to actually go far in the playoffs died. In that game, whether it was against the Jets or Packers, I forget which one. But Cushing gets hurt in that game. And I always felt like, okay, well, if there's a theoretical matchup with the New England Patriots down the road, they're not going to have Brian Cushing, who is so good side to side as far as keeping some of the satellite backs that New England had in check and the tight ends that New England, of course, had in check. Not to say that Cushing was like a great cover guy, but Cushing was about as good as it gets from a middle linebacker at that point in the league's history at moving from sideline to sideline. And when that injury happened, afterwards, he just wasn't the same guy. And I don't think he played that much longer after it happened, in fact.
And he also had to overcome overtrained athlete syndrome.
Right,
or whatever.
He did. That's why he's in the almost. And he did get popped again for a PEDs, but I didn't blame him at all for the second one because once you have an ACL go, I mean, then your career's ticking. You know, it's a matter of time before you stop being.
He retired at 30.
Yeah, that's a shame. When he was on his A game, we make fun because of the PED poppage, but like Cushing was a great player when he was 100%. It's just a shame. It was a real, really quick moment in time. And he was also an absolute crazy person on the field. You've probably seen the highlight that he had on YouTube where, check it out, where he was mic'd up against the Cleveland Browns. I think this was a game where Colt McCoy was under center, and poor Colt McCoy was just getting absolutely bludgeoned back there. And he headbutted somebody with his helmet off, and he's just bleeding everywhere like a complete barbarian psychopath. And the funny thing was, whenever you talk to Brian Cushing, you put a microphone in front of him, he would be like the most boring, low-energy person ever. Like, we're just trying to be the best teammate I can be. Like, always mumbling. But then when you heard him mic'd up, it was one of the better mic'd up performances there was. Like J.J. Watt, when he was mic'd up, it was always a bit try-hard, whether it was Hard Knocks or in real life. But Brian Cushing, that was authentic. That was real. Anyway, we're all over the place, but that's what we do on the Paul Kalant Show. It is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Conversations on the table. Hey, the Texans almost Ring of Honor. I feel like we have squeezed all the juice out of that one. We've been doing this for an hour. Up next, what would you do for these six Houston athletes if they were to come with a request of you on this, the day of Punxsutawney Phil seeing a shadow? It's the Paul Kalant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. Houston's most interactive and possibly radioactive sports talk show continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
We have established, first off, the Houston Texans Ring of Honor. Andre Johnson, Bob McNair, yeah, duh.
J.J. Watt. I will say Bob McNair putting himself in.
Well, like, don't say that. Don't speak ill of the dead. The late Bob McNair.
I just, yeah. Is Cal McNair going to be put in after he dies,
too? He brought football back to Houston. No, Cal doesn't make it. Cal doesn't make it.
Almost.
I mean, look, there's time. There is time. Does Hannah McNair make it into the Almost Texans Hall of Fame? Trending up. I think she's in the Almost Texans Hall of Fame right now.
She's with Dunta Robinson.
Yes. Hey, let's get back on track. The Texans Real Ring of Honor features 1, Andre Johnson, 2, Bob McNair, 3, will feature J.J. Watt, 4, will feature DeAndre Hopkins, 5, Tom Brady, 1-2 Super Bowls in Houston, 6, Clay Walker, and 7, T.Y. Hilton.
That's bad. That's ugly.
If Tom Brady played well here, T.Y. Hilton played even better here on a more regular basis. So he's got to be in the Texans Ring of Honor. Almost Ring of Honor, Arian Foster, Dwayne Brown, Jonathan Joseph, D'Amico Ryans. We'll put John Weeks in too. Longest tenured Texan. The almost Ring of Honor. No,
just
I'm sorry.
Two
we're
almost.
Done. We're done. We're killing it. We are killing the topic. Where would this topic rank in the Paul Gallant Show Rings of Honor? Is this the almost? I'm sorry. I'm done. Come on. It's the day of Punxsutawney Phil seeing his shadow. Godfather of Houston sports talk. Actual godfather in real life, Paul Gallant. John Granato can't confirm that he is one. Sounds like Italian appropriation on his part. Whatever. What would you do if these Houston athletes came up to you and asked you something? Eric Gordon played great last night for the Houston Rockets without Kevin Porter Jr. and without Jalen Green in a Rockets win over the Thunder. They've won 3 of 5. Ooh, they're playing a little bit better. Gordon's been a good soldier ever since he called out the reality of this team, which has been a mess. No one's talking about it, and I think that makes it even worse for Eric Gordon. He is toiling in obscurity. It's the worst place to be. Irrelevance, borderline. Gordon deserves to be traded by next week's trade deadline. I don't even care what you get in return for him. Since the Rockets have sort of made a habit of bending over backwards to please the players that play there or the players that leave here, Harden, I feel like to be consistent, they probably will move Eric Gordon, and they should. Brandon Cooks, I'm sure he might still want to be traded. I do think there is a discussion to be had if you're D'Amico Ryans to sit down with him and say, look, whatever happened with you and Pep Hamilton, whatever happened with you and Lovie Smith, whatever happened with you and Davis Mills this past season, are you willing to say now, I understand that this is a rebuild and I have to produce to play elsewhere. Are you willing to just play this out and get back on the open market? Or do you need to be traded to a winning team? I would, at the very least, ask it. The petty side of me wants to say, screw it. You signed the contract. You knew what you were signing up for. Stop acting like it was going to be anything otherwise. But I'm on the fence here. I'm going back and forth. I'm saying no. I'm saying no to Brandon Cooks. You signed the contract.
I think it depends. This is where you get to be self-serving. It depends on what the deal out there is for him, but I don't anticipate it's going to be that great.
Right. It's you know, almost $20 million against the salary cap for a guy who didn't play well last year. And whether that is the scheme or on Cooks, it's leverage against the Houston Texans as far as what they would get in return. Laremy Tunsil, I'm giving him an extension. You got a great left tackle. He played well last season. After the year before where it seemed like he didn't want to be here, I think he played the good soldier as best you can. The guy deserves an extension. Keep him here. Make sure that whatever quarterback you have at least has blindside protection. Titus Howard, I would also say extension. Kyle Tucker, I'm not giving an extension to. He's going to make a ridiculous amount of money, and I think you do have to be a little bit careful when it comes to some of these deals. That's what the Astros have been doing over the last couple of years. But for the love of God, are we really going to get into an argument arbitration-wise over $2.5 million? What are we, pores? Come on. So I wouldn't grant Kyle Tucker's request, but I would do everything in my power up to said request to make him happier. And Christian Javier, I am trying to get that extension done literally right now. I am trying to sign him to a long-term deal. There's a graphic on the MLB Network that showed the top 10 pitchers in baseball, and Javier had a better strikeouts per nine than all but two of those pitchers and had a better walks, hits per innings pitched than every single pitcher on that list except for Justin Verlander. Guy's great. He's going to be awesome. Part of two no-hitters this past season. One in the World Bleeping Series. The other in the regular season against the New York Yankees. The guy is a big-game pitcher, and I'm very excited for him in 2023. All right, guys, time for some garbage time to wrap things up.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
OTR Sean asks, you want to make Tunsil the highest paid left tackle in the league? Well, that's how it works. Give a guy an extension, he's going to be the highest paid. Still in his 20s, if I'm not mistaken. It's not like we're talking about Trent Williams or someone a little bit older here. Yeah, I'm willing to do it. That's how it goes. You sign somebody to an extension and they are one of the best at their position. They are going to make more money than just about every single player, if not actually every single player, as part of that deal. Oakland A's brass is going to be in Vegas to continue discussions on a potential relocation, according to a person with knowledge of the situation. Team owner John Fisher and President Dave Cavall will meet with various resort operators on the North Strip. After talks went silent in recent months with Las Vegas Festival Grounds owner and casino magnate Phil Ruffin, the people indicated the 39-acre site is still in play as a potential location for a retractable dome stadium. Yeah, you'd have to do a dome of some sorts. The idea of the Las Vegas Athletics is gross. It just doesn't work. But they do deserve to play in a team, in a stadium that's not like overrun by rats and bats. And I'll be honest, I'm tired of seeing the seagulls on the TV broadcast of Astros A's games. And I'm also tired of those nerds from Oakland, hipsters who bring their entire instrument ensemble and start like banging on the drums all game long. Get a life.
It would be funny though for Oakland to go like to lose the Raiders and the A's to Las Vegas.
Consistent.
Like it's just boom.
Maybe some people in Oakland will be like, you know what? It's not like they went to San Francisco. It's not like they went to Los Angeles. They went to Vegas. I like visiting Vegas. I'll stick around. Maybe that's what they're thinking to themselves.
I mean, the Raiders fans will just follow the Raiders anywhere. That's documented.
Oh, yeah.
They just...
by motorcycle.
Yeah.
Dr. Phil, coming to an end after more than two decades. Wow, retiring the same day as Tom Brady. In a statement, host Phil McGraw said that he wants to expand his audience in a new venture as he has grave concerns for the American family. Well, you're going off of daytime TV, bro. What are you doing? This new venture, I guarantee you, will not be as lucrative for him as the one on television. I do think that less and less people are watching television, but what? Are people all of a sudden going to jump on the Dr. Phil train on YouTube or Twitch or something like that? Think you missed the boat, dude.
The Dr. Phil podcast.
Now that I would like. I want him to bring on Bad Bonnie or whatever her name is. Cash Me Outside Girl.
What are you doing?
What are you doing with your life? That's going to wrap up today's Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mavis behind the glass, our callers, our texters, and our Twitchers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long. Farewell. I'll tell you what happens at the D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio press conference later on this afternoon, at Gallant says on Twitter. Until then, later. Wait, what do I usually say? Peace. Bye.
I watch every game in the regular season.
Can D'Amico Ryans turn the franchise around? Let us know on Twitter at ESPN 97.5.